So, Hare Krishna. In this morning session, we will do three things. I will give you a little summary of what I wanted to teach you within this 1 week. Afterwards, there will be a little exercise which is due to the nature a quite spontaneous thing. Then I would like to give you a little advice, and then we will go into a lively question and answer session, and at the end I have some presents for you. Hare Krishna. When I heard about this Radha Day's International Kirtan course, I was immediately very inspired to participate as one of the teachers in it. I believe it was Manu's idea, if I'm correct, and it was taken up by the dean of the Bhaktivedanta College, who spoke to you on the first day. Dina Dayal is his name. And then there was nearly 2 years of preparation for this course. The preparation had to go, for instance, into what you will see next week. Instruments had to be purchased for this course so that you can learn to play a harmonium. For instance, I saw a new harmonium, and I heard there are 3 more of these. Cartels have made their appearance in Radha Desh, which are very melodious, like this one, a pair of cartels, and then a lot of discussions with the professors, which you will see in the future. Krishna Chetra Prabhu, Kadamba Kanana Maharaj, who gave a very valuable input into this course. They had to be made, these discussions, and in this way the Kirtan course was put together. Now, I was invited to be here for the first week, and I thought I would teach you on the basis of this most important discussion on the art of Kirtan, which took place between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Haridas Thakur. And now, I have personally studied this book, Harinam Chintamani, many, many years. And if you really go through it, you will see something like a skeleton, something which is the general structure. And then you will see assembled around the skeleton many points of Vaishnava theology and Vaishnava practice. So because I had not more time than a week, I could only give you almost the structure. Something is missing, but I decided at the end to leave it for another time. Maybe when you are ready with the Kirtan course. Wow! I have been invited to come at the conclusion of the Kirtan course. Is this true? I will come from nearby project of Goloka Dham, and then I could give you what I wanted to give you, some instructions on the very advanced levels of chanting. Very advanced. I have left that out because I thought, let's make this a practical course and not a theoretical course, and teach you things you can immediately apply. So I would like to now give you a summary of the structure as much as I could present it to you, so that you understand what this was all about. My summary will not be a day-to-day summary, but I will just go to the core of the thing. Haridas Thakur explains that all of Krishna's manifestations, which are part of the spiritual dimension, the chit vaibhava, of all of these manifestations, Lord Krishna's form, his pastimes, his abode, of all this, one form is most merciful because this form descends into the material world to join with the living entity. It is the holy name. And thus, Haridas Thakur concludes, in this world, which is Achit Vaibhava, that is, it is material through and through, there are only two spiritual entities. One is you, spiritual soul, the second is the holy name. So, his whole teaching revolves around the fact that we, who are, in a way, speaking theologically, lost souls, we have lost the spiritual world, have now found Krishna in the form of the holy name. And his instructions are all made in order so that this becomes a happy union of the two spiritual entities, soul and holy name. He says, his main point is that the holy name is Krishna, but unfortunately, at the present moment, the jiva is not able to see Krishna as the holy name. For him, the holy name is like a sun which is covered with clouds and with fog or mist. So, although here is Krishna in the form of the holy name, we who need to be again connected with him as our first and foremost duty will have to remove first and foremost the clouds and the fogs. So the clouds and the fogs, I think you remember this because we went in quite detail, anattas, that is undesired habits and weaknesses of the heart, material attachments, and aparadas, that is blasphemy or really being against the holy name and the devotees and the scriptures and the Lord. So, and then there is a big fork, it's ignorance. So we had given you a few techniques how to overcome the clouds and the fogs. Yesterday, we taught you what is maybe the essence of the whole presentation of Harinam Chintamani, to bring Krishna together with the jiva in what Haridas Thakur calls sambandha, a connection. I always say we are now connected with Maya. And in Prabhupada's beautiful lecture, he made this very clear. He said how we are surrounded by our body, we have our name, we have our ideas and concepts, and we are totally caught up on the material level. So the happy connection between the soul and the Lord, that's in the form of his holy name, that's the subject of sambandha, chanting the sambandha. And I heard from a few of you that the meditation, although it was for some of them the first time that they went into meditation, actually worked in some ways. But I again want to caution you, these guided meditations, it's nice that we do them sometimes together, but the real spiritual life doesn't happen in a guided meditation. It will happen when your heart is purified, and then in that purified heart, Lord Krishna will reveal himself. Lord Chaitanya says the pure heart is like a clean mirror, and in this clean mirror the Lord is visible because he is also there in the inside. But if the heart is not pure, we won't see him. So the chanting will purify the heart, and then you can see the Lord who's inside and outside and everywhere. And this is the idea of purifying the mirror of the heart. This is a little bit the summary of the Harinam Chintamani, the whole point where it's about. If you want to remember my course in one sentence, you could say chant with sambandha, chant with a connection, with a feeling of connectedness. So, I would now request all of you to say something. I will fire a sentence at you. But I need to first sing a little bit of kirtan. Who is there? Munishvara Hari. I think we would... let me just choose a melody. I don't think Manu is there, no? You can... Oh yes, Balaram. Who can play Vidanga of you? Yeah. Not too loud.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No need of extreme loudness. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Actually, that is Munishvara Hari's melody. Nur deine, die zweite Melodie. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And softly, the Madanga. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare
Hare.
I will request you in a moment to answer the following question. What do I take out of the kirtan course? It could be a philosophical point, but it could also be, I take with me how I sit before the deities enchanted. So please go a little bit inside as you sing and search your heart. What is it that you take with you? We need this because after this I will make a little exercise with you. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Some melodies just go into your ear and they don't leave you. Yeah, I would like to ask the students what you take out of this. I'm sorry, I know we have some guest students and it was a great honor for me that you came. But this exercise will be only for the students who will continue after this week with the 2 months course. Because I want to help you in some ways to, I can't tell you what I want to do, but you will see after you have answered. Please, so you came here from far away. Some of you came from Germany, others, I believe from England, isn't it? The two of you. Our English guests, and from Spain, our Rishabha came, and from Lithuania, Riga is in
Latvia
even. Oh, and from Denmark, it's a really an internet. From Russia, I see, it's a real international group. So you came here. You must have had a few expectations. It will be like this, or it will be like that. But what did you actually find so far what is useful for your spiritual life. Please don't say, the prasada was not good enough, that is what I found. Something in relationship to the kirtan course. Hmm? Okay. Aha! Sorry, yes, of course, you can't say anything about the course. Thank you, Bhananandini. It's about that 1 week which you were here. Who knows what will happen in the next few weeks. Good things, but we will have to see that. See it. What did you find in this 1 week? I know one has to think a little bit. And I will ask you to share this with the entire group. One moment. I have to say one thing. Bhanu Nandini is one of my three secretaries. I have worked with three secretaries and with a team of 90 people, but she her responsibility is just focused on helping develop courses, because she went and she learned this in the university to work systematically on things, and she just has helped me. What I'm thinking, my question was not clear. What I'm thinking of here is a point maybe which you have understood, or maybe a practice. We found the musician and the restaurant owner when they came to the failed businessman. They shared a practice which they had learned and so on. It's either a philosophical point or maybe a practice for chanting. Mm-hmm. What? Sorry for being unclear. Now is my question clearer to you? Mm-hmm. Please. Yes, Vlad. Please speak loud so that the whole group can hear.
For me, the most important thing that I've learned from the course was about connecting with Krishna. So when we are chanting the holy name, it's better for us to think about what about we're chanting. We're chanting Krishna's names, and we're trying to make relationship with Krishna. And the easiest way for me, from everything what I've heard, was if you want to make a relationship, you must serve. And the easiest way to serve Krishna is to serve the devotees. So, you know, if we want to make a connection to the holy name, we can serve devotees and make them feel happy. Like, think about how we can make devotees happy. And if we will think about this, we can easier make a connection with the holy name. Mm-hmm. It was a very important point.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mm-hmm. We look like Vlad gave a good example. Just short, brief answers. What was for me the most important point? Davide, I see you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. I think for me, I didn't know what kirtan was. I came here thinking I want to learn how to synchronize my hands so that they do the right thing.
For the instrument?
Oh. Yes, uh-huh. Mainly that, and I still don't know how to do that.
It will come. Tomorrow onwards.
Exactly. But I think this week has really helped me understand what kirtan is. For me, it was music. It was fun. It was, you know, that's... Let's see how loud we can go. And it was more about that. And understanding that it's a practice of meditation, there is a connection with God, that is my relationship, as Vlad was saying, is understanding Krishna, or trying to create that connection, is something that was completely out of my reach.
Wonderful.
So this week has helped me understanding what we're doing.
Thank you so much, David. And by the way, you were... Yesterday you were the dancer per excellence. I mean, you and the other devotee Swayambhu were from Swahili land, or some I think Swahili.
What?
Swazi. It's something like in that area. Thank you very much for giving joy to the kirtan with Krishna.
Yes, Krishna. And we were just, I think, breathing enough to maintain the body.
Good. Good, fine. Yes, our Mataji is, I see, Gandavika. Yes, please.
Well, practically, I think the systematic way of reading the scriptures, I'm not giving that much, like, thought about. We have not even in Bhakti Shastri a way to, like, go and read the Bhagavad Gita, like, so I think the three steps we learned here was really helpful, actually, and I think I will apply that more when I read, so it's not just inspirational, but, I mean, I can, go deeper and how to apply it, so,
Thank you for picking that up, because I wanted to teach you on the basis of the scripture and then teach you also a way how to read on your own, you know. Anna, I saw your hand up.
Many different things. There was in the first day when we were offering givings to the deities, asking for blessings, I really felt how small I am and how many blessings I need. So I think that really helped to understand that point of connection, that when you're small, you really need someone to look after someone. This advice about prayer, I think that's, this connection is the most important.
Wonderful, wonderful. I'm very happy about this comment. Like about all the other comments also, yes, kirtan is also beyond the books. It is prayer. And I think I saw you, Abigail.
Yeah, my was about prayer. The point that, you know, the Maha Mantra is a prayer to Krishna, and all the different meditations that you've given us, and also Gaura Hari in the Japa workshops being really useful, and just going to Radha Gopinath in the morning and in the evening and praying, like making, you know, that actually establishes a relationship, because if you're praying, you're actually asking, or you're begging for from the Lord, so it instantaneously makes a connection, and so I found that very powerful.
Yeah, it's not a technique. It's really spiritual. I'm thinking of Davide when he said, we were just breathing to keep our bodies alive, but that the rest was Krishna. He moved us, you know. You danced like Rakeshwara Pandit. You know, that person who could dance for 72 hours. Yes, thank you. Yeah, it's, please, kirtan is super spiritual. It's not just singing music. Although the music you will learn tomorrow, starting tomorrow. Yes, Rishabha?
Marsh, the whole week for me has been really, really important in the sense, like, for advancement, and I see it in my spiritual life, that I've been always trying for me, like, when I'm chanting my rounds, to really try. The mind is always restless and like constantly like having a war in my head with trying to hear the holy name, and the mind just going everywhere. So like the different prayers and the different points which have been given in the class just really helped me a lot. And by like by the mercy of your mercy and Krishna, today I was praying in front of Radha Gopinath. And it just clicked on my mind that I pray and I always like I beg for mercy, and I like Marsh also said that glorify Krishna, kirtan is to glorify Krishna, and it just came up to me and said that I always beg for mercy and I try to glorify Krishna, and I just said that I never asked Krishna how are you, that relationship is to the point that whatever relationship like maybe somebody like how are you, how's things
yes. Yeah.
I don't know how this today happened, really, and also the yesterday point regarding the devotee, the the Vaishnava chanting is on and building in this a temple in his heart and inviting Krishna, I would like to try that, but I'm not qualified to ask Krishna to come to my heart, but hopefully the holy name would be merciful enough to come. So just by prayer or mercy that the holy name.
Hare Krishna, thank you. Wow, you're all very amazing students. Yes, thank you. Thank you so much, Dominique.
So I learned this week to change with a different mood. I chant the holy name before, but I was thinking I have the connection because it was still working, but now I find out to open my heart also mm-hmm. when I'm chanting the name.
Mm-hmm.
So it's increased my experience like 10 times. I feel really connected. This was a very strange week for me because I cry a lot.
No.
You know, and I didn't cry maybe 5 or 10 years, and this week I cry 3, 4, 5 times, you know. So I left the kirtan yesterday because I cry in the classroom, so I really feel it. I sweat all the time. And so there's symptoms to my body happening. You know? So in the night I can't sleep. He's my roommate, so I'm very lucky to have this roommate. He's full of wisdom, so I want to know something, he knows for sure. So this week actually is the most important week in my spiritual life now. So actually the kirtan course will end tomorrow. I'm still happy because I learned so much I didn't learn the last 10 years, so I want to say that's it.
Wonderful.
I'm really happy.
Thank you, Dominique. Dominique is showing the signs of transformation. Good. Others of you, I'm looking towards the Matajis. Satya, are you already ready? Not yet. Who?
I just felt like yes. this week has given me like a lot of tools that I can use for the restless mind and for intended chanting that I've had this struggle with up till now, not knowing, you know, which of these various meditations to go with. But now I feel a lot more steady in my chanting, and just feel like I have a lot of exercises that I can refer back to help me fix my consciousness and appreciate and get fully absorbed in the kirtan. I'm really thankful for that.
Very happy also by whatever you say is very good, but some things I want to comment. I once had a swimming teacher, Mr. Jansen, Herr Jansen. He was an intellectual. I don't know why he became a swimming teacher. Maybe he don't want to speculate. And he told us about the water and about moving and the bones and the muscles and so on. And then one day, he took us out on a mole. Do you know the German language? It's eine Mole. It's something which, maybe you can help me, your English speaker. It's something which goes into the sea and you can tie, if you want, boats on the left pier. And right side.
A pier,
yes. We were led on a pier, and then he said we should all go down like frogs, you know, like in the frog exercise, which we did, like zoop, with the hands on the ground. And then he said to us, you have now learned about biology. You have learned about what is that science? You know, where the water and the fishes and so on. Forget all this now, because now it gets practical. And then he went, and all was not hitting us on the behind, but just taking us on the behind and throwing us into the water like little frogs. Plunge, 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 plunge. And everyone except my older brother was swimming. My older brother had to be saved, as far as I remember. And we were swimming. And then we all went back to the beach and we were sitting there. Mr. Jansen was there and my older brother was saying, next time I'm going to make it, you know. And he was asking us to share the experiences. And I was too small to really think about it. But now where I'm older, I can see. I had so many concepts about swimming, you know, the water and the life in the water and the waves and everything. He was an intellectual. He really knew the ocean well. But when it came to swimming, I knew I could only learn it by swimming, by trying to swim. So Kirtan is like this. I've given you so many instructions. Peng Peng, as many as I thought are still digestible for you. But what is Kirtan may come to you in that when you actually swim, when you do the Kirtan, when you sit before the deities, when you feel all of a sudden the spiritual energy rising, when you feel what Dominic shared with us, thank you Dominic for sharing, how our heart becomes moved, how all of a sudden you become emotional and you think, oh Krishna, for so many long years I left you, then you can enter the secret of Kirtan. Kirtan, yes, there are many instructions, and believe me, I have made it my point to just collect them. I have shelves of different points about the holy name, different meanings of the Hare Krishna mantra for different Vaishnava sampradayas. I could give you the total overload that you just have to crawl out of the classroom on your on your hands and your feet. But I just know it's not about all this. You have to swim. You have to do the kirtan. And therefore, I very much want to encourage you that tomorrow it's a whole different style of teaching will start. Tomorrow you will actually be assessed, where are you as far as your musical skills are concerned? Can you sing a melody, or do you need to sing a melody? Do you know what is a rhythm? Can you keep it, or do you all of a sudden go, you know, it's you will find out many things, and this is very valuable. Your mind and intellect will not be so set. It will be really hard training, you will have to learn the ABCs, how to bring the instruments together, how to make these instrument sounds. Well, is it this sound? Is it this sound? Is it this sound? There are many sounds like this. You will learn, and it will be, oh my God, I don't know anything. And I thought I understood Kirtan during Sachinanda Swami's classes. And it's a different aspect you will learn. Please also know there, all of a sudden the rhythm will be there. All of a sudden, I'm playing, I'm swimming, what is going on? Oh, I hope I don't lose it. You know, and so on and so on. The music is not in the notes. Spirituality is not in techniques. It is somewhere else. It's in the spirit. That is very important. Now, I will leave you before you can ask your question with one thought. I would like that you take whatever is your answer to my question, what struck you, and in Satya's case, her answer is still coming. Most probably it's already there, but she will tell it only to her older sister, because we are not yet qualified. You can share with her. Oh my God, Satya. Yes, Satya. interesting.
This week for me has been really wonderful and extremely helpful, especially with the Harinam Chintamani. That just like it had all the tools and all the solutions to the problem I was having with my chanting. It just opened up a whole other world in my head, and also it opened up the holy name, and it made me realize how potent it actually was. It was so much more than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
And I had this idea that growing up with it, it really opened my eyes, and it was the most wonderful thing ever. realizing that it is a prayer when you're chanting, and actually it struck me that it is service, that when you're, mm-hmm. when you're chanting, especially the japa, you're serving Krishna. And it's not just, as Swami Ramani said, it's just like, I'm chanting these two rounds and I'll be with you. You're actually in service. And
mm-hmm.
you have to, make the relationship stronger, and it definitely has after this week. And
mm-hmm.
it has been, and a heart.
Thank you, and thank you also for sharing with us. So. I think Munishwara, I'm sorry, I forgot you, but have you shared already?
No.
Is something there to share?
Yeah, so many.
please. Yes.
Yeah, sorry for my English. Yeah, you gave us so much. Maharaj, this was really amazing for me. Especially the book. Was it really? Is it a treasure?
Mm-hmm.
It's really deep and gives me so much inspiration. Give me also, and especially the techniques for entering the kirtan to make my mind clear. The name and Krishna is the same first,
mm-hmm.
and then practice humility and then longing. I miss you so, and I have personal feelings with this. It's very nice that I searched so long for a perfect person or for the perfect love, and it's nice to, but you also say longing is an important thing.
Mm-hmm.
Krishna is, this is the love of my life. And then the third thing, the meaning, please engage me in your service. It's really nice to make it to my mind clear when I start the kirtan. Not sometimes it's very with emotions and very but with the four things it's really really clearer for my mind, and can more enter in the kirtan. Yeah, also your own examples that you give is also very very nice for my mind. And the whole week I think was very, very nectar for me. Sometimes nectar drops, but mostly nectar showers, I think.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. The question was what struck me. I'm a little shy when I receive gratitude, but thank you. But the question is, what struck me? Let me see. Do we have everyone? Has everyone who's in the course contributed? I think so, isn't it? Shrikant is still Shrikant, isn't it? Still, he's not good. Mm. One of our members has problems with the eyes. Is very sick. I wanted to really now tell you that whatever it is that you found in this week for you in relationship to the holy name, please make a mental note of this, I think it works best if you do it mentally. Some of you who write everything down can also write it down, of course. I think some Matajis are accustomed to have diaries. I don't know, but I've heard women like to do this. But if you're not that type of person who writes down diaries, make a mental note and keep that with you as something which is like a new habit. There's something which I always tell those who come to my retreats at the very end of the retreat, that we as human beings are not really as free to act as we would like to be. We are determined by our habits, and these habits form our activities almost in a subconscious way. Would just love to show you with one habit. Would you be so kind to fold your arms? Now, is this the right way you fold it? The right hand goes over the left elbow and the left hand over the right elbow, or exactly the other way around? Try the other way around. If you are right hand over the left elbow, just change it. What is most comfortable for you? What feels right? It's not about thinking, just feeling. This is best. How it feels best. Have you found your best position? Now do it exactly the opposite way, please. How does it feel now? Isn't it? It feels strange, no? Now, did you ever, before you did this exercise, unless you were in one of my seminars, did you ever think in which way you fold your arms? No. You just do it. You don't ever think about it. You do it out of habit. The habit tells you the way you feel most comfortable. And when you break the habit, when you do something which is out of the habit, you feel just, bad, or it feels awkward or strange. So all of us have certain ways we eat, eating habits. Some we have sleeping habits. I don't know, because no one is. I always have my room, but I think I have lately developed a snoring habit, because sometimes it's so loud that I wake up, and it can only be because of the snoring, I believe. But I'm not conscious about it, and I thought only fools snore when I was 20 years old. I thought I could be saved from this, but I'm an embarrassing snorer. You have to lock me away from any human civilization when the night comes. it's a habit, something which you do over and over again, and you do it unconscious. All of our life is constituted of physical habits which we do, and what is worse, mental habits. I saw this when I was in Russia, and I went with two Russian devotees out for the mountains, and it was snowing, and the devotees went, "Oh, it's snowing, so miserable, oh, no sun." I said, "What are you talking about? Snowing is even, this is the reality of the mountains. We are getting into the mountains as they are, the precious wild mountains. Why do you think that only the sun is nice?" But this is a thinking habit. Most of us have very complicated thinking habits, And we are always thinking either negatively, or we think positively, or we think we should be the first one to in the kirtan, and we should always be in the first row that everyone sees us. We have subconscious habits, and people who are a little bit trained can easily see that. We usually don't see it. The way we look at life is a thinking habit. The way we act, this is what it means to be a conditioned soul. Now, in this kirtan course, we would love to develop new habits. For instance, one new habit should be to end the day with kirtan. That's what we do every day. We are there, good weather or bad weather, good singer. There are only good singers in the other days, but we are there. We make it a habit, and you will see. Once this habit is there, it will always be there as a good as helping you. I like this so much in that little sketch. In the sketch, you know, the boys had or the young men had developed a certain thing, and they could go back to it and relay back to it, and it could help them. One became even touched. The musician became touched, and the old life broke through. And oh yes, 10 years. Oh, what have I done? I should really take this up again. I would really love to give you a very valuable advice. Since we are all citizens of the world of habit, we are habitual human beings, it's your big chance here to learn a new habit, a spiritual habit, which will follow you for the rest of your life and act as your best friend. This is, please take good care of the kirtan course, and I will do the same exercise with you when I see you in at the end of 2 months of your 2 months. Manu has invited me. That's possible. My time is over full, but somehow Krishna arranged it that it's possible. And then I would like to ask you, my dear devotees, what struck you outside of the experience which you already made in your first week? No? And it would be nice if you have some good habits, some good ideas at that time to share. Not because of me, it's all because of you, so that you can take something valuable with you from this experience of the kirtan course and change your life by having adopted a much more important habit than how to fold your arms. That's really not important. Good. Now I have to look to the clock. I think we are just at the time where we can make just a short pause, maybe air everything out, and then I request you to be here 10 minutes before 12 o'clock. Yep. See you in 10 minutes. Hare Krishna. So, Hare Krishna. I would now welcome any questions which were left during the course. May I introduce you to my new material attachment? It's harmless. This Vlad gave me a wonderful orthopedic chair because he noted I was my back was not very good. It's much better now, but still. So if it's all right with you, I would love to sit orthopedically correct here. Feel also much closer to you. Good. So let us see now if there are any questions which we have left here. I see there is Yashomati with a question. There's Anna, Rishabdev. Let us start with Rishabdev. And yeah.
Marsh, I have two questions, if that's okay.
Yeah. Well, let us first have one, and then we can come back to the second.
The first first one is the Vaishnava Aparadha. Like, I know, for example, when sometimes you meet a devotee and you might have a conversation or have some kind of activities with them, but they might have got offended, but you don't feel that you have offended them, and you don't know that even they are offended by something which you have done or by something you have said. So how is that?
The normal scenario in which something which took place is counted as an offense is when you deliberately, with full intention, do something or say something to hurt another person. I feel it is very important to bring this point of intention to the table, because there is in human psychology something like subjective perception, which is very, very, very strong. And if, according to the subjective perception of a person, oh, you hurt me, you are now guilty of Vaishnava Aparadha, then where would be the universal justice? There is a story I like to tell about, which makes clear what is offense. There is a person, a traveler, coming one evening, traveling through Tibet, and he comes to a monastery as the sun sets on the western horizon. He knows, I have to stay inside a building during the night, otherwise the wolves or the other wild animals will prey on me. And he knocks at the monastery, and the monastery, the door is opened to him, and he's welcomed in by one monk. The abbey, the leader of the monastery, is working upstairs in a room and sees the traveler coming. He hears him knocking at the gate, and he sees how the gate is opened and the traveler is welcomed in, and he's very peaceful. We are a hospitable place here. And he goes back to his work. He writes, he copies one Buddhistic scripture. During that month, the whole monastery follows the vow of silence, but he's confident that somehow or other the monk who received the traveler has shown him everything by sign language and so on. Then the abbey sees a little bit later, he hears a loud noise at the gate. The gate is opened really abruptly, and the traveler runs out of the monastery and into the dusk. He makes a mental note. I will ask around what happened. Why did he not spend the night here? It's unsafe outside. So after 1 month has finished, he asked around who let the traveler in. And one monk comes forward and says, I did it, Your Honor. And the abbey said, could you please see me after the religious service? And the monk comes in. He's a one-eyed monk. The abbey asked him, you know that 1 month ago there was a traveler and he was led in, and I was thinking he would stay here and enjoy the hospitality of the monastery, but he he ran out of the monastery into the night. What happened? He was a rascal, said the monk. The monk is visibly agitated. How does he look? He is a monk which only has one eye. The other eye is covered because it's defect. He was such a rascal, reports the one-eyed monk. I led him in. I showed him the room. And I thought that was everything. But he just pointed with a finger to me. And I understood, he said, you only have one eye. Then I felt so hurt, but I wanted to be polite, and I showed back with my hand like this, meaning, I'm happy that you have two eyes. What did the rascal do? He showed back in sign language, three. And together we have three eyes. You one, I two. Now the abbey said, wait a minute, I can't imagine that he did this. When he showed like this, he must have meant Buddha is wonderful. And when you responded by showing like this, he must have understood that you said Buddha and the Sangha is wonderful. Sangha means the association of Buddhistic monks. And then when it came time to, when it was time for him to respond, he showed Buddha, the Sangha, and also Dharma. These are the threefold truths of Buddhism are wonderful. Oh, is that the one-eyed monk? Yes, he looked so cultured and so civilized. And he was a monk also. Oh, why did I feel hurt? Why did I interpret it like this? When he showed me Buddha, I thought my eye. When he showed me Buddha, Sangha, and the Dharma, I thought again of my eye. Together we have three eyes. Why was I such a fool? The story goes that in fact the traveler had Buddha, had these communications in the mind. But because the person was so self-centered, thinking about his eye from morning till evening, he misunderstood it. My dear devotees, this happens often in communication. Someone, you do something and someone takes offense. It happens almost after every lecture with me. Someone says, I was saying something which, where I discredited them. I only have my subjects in mind, but people who are so much with themselves think this Maharaj can read minds, and he then reads my mind and he tells what was in my mind in public. No. This happens very often. Very often in life. Sometimes I tell these people who want to become my disciples, I know your guru is someone else. And they think, no one likes me, and most probably he also doesn't like me. It's not about that. It's about something much higher, but because they think on their level, they are disturbed. It happened with someone in Russia, and when I just was there, and I said, no, you are a wonderful devotee. That's not about this, but Krishna is making another arrangement for you. So this problem which you have mentioned is always there. you do something and it gets misunderstood and someone takes offense. Rishabha, the only thing is to say at that time, well, when they say, Rishabha, you offended me, I felt so hurt, then you have to patiently ask, please tell me, how did I offend you? And then tell them this, then they tell you this, then they say, oh, Prabhu, I really, you have misunderstood, it's not about that. When I said this, I meant that, not what you interpreted. And then you can make it clear between, and then you can be safe. So when someone misunderstands it, like the one-eyed monk misunderstood it, then it's really not his, then it is not your fault. But still, because you are Vaishnava, you shouldn't say it's your problem and leave the person with the problem. You should say, well, maybe I can help clarify the situation, and then clarify it like this. You should do like this. And it's good, because if there is this unresolved thing, and the person always, whenever you come in, he just glares at you and wants to, and secretly he learns how to throw knives, you know, that when you are on a japa walk, he can throw a knife from the behind. And you know. This is the general understanding. Now, there is something in our theology where it is also an offense when you hurt someone unintentionally. But I really don't think in this circle of Vaishnavas, that is younger devotees who practice maybe since 20 years or 30 years or only 2 years, this is good to do. When you become older in your spiritual practice and more refined, you have to also think about the things which you do unintentionally. But let's start here first with this definition of apara, because otherwise you get crazy, you know. You know, when I gave the class about Vaishnava Apparat, 4 devotees came to me and said, Maharaj, please excuse me, please forgive me. Why? What did you? I think I did something wrong in relationship to, not that I know, but then I noted I had somehow, and they all, then tell me what you think you did wrong. I don't know. It gets crazy, you know. It gets psychopathic when you have to think, oh, who, what did I do unintentionally? And now I need to release myself from the offense and go just to everyone. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. For what, please? For my existence. and it doesn't help the situation. So let us stay with a simple definition, which is in our scriptures, intentionally. And when someone is disturbed, then you have to see if you can solve that. But don't be afraid of. Some devotees have told me, I'm afraid to enter the temple, because when I enter the temple, I don't know how to do these many. All the devotees come to me, this you did wrong, that did you wrong. And I think I just created offenses in my thing. I once saw a very famous German actor who was actually initiated. Those who know German old movies, Georg Thomalla. Most of you are too old. I also don't know German old movies, but I heard her, have heard the old people, Georg Thomalla. He became a devotee, Govinda Gopal. So he once came to the temple, Singhachalam. One devotee, I will not tell you the name. You know, he had eaten his plate and he liked the prasadam so much, and there was no one to serve seconds out, so he came himself and he took the spoon and took a second helping. When he did this, from nowhere, someone came and said, "You old pig." And he was really, really, no one will say this to Georg Thomalla, first of all. And the second is, what did I do wrong? You didn't wash your hands with soap after you took the prasadam, and you took your moochie hands. What is moochie? He said, asked. You know, he was just nude, second time in the temple. You took your moochie hands and you touched the clean prasadam. You are, and the second time the word came. And he came to me and I said, he said, "My God, I don't know these rules. I will never come again to the temple." Thank you, Vlad. You are a very intelligent scientist. Table was shaking. It was always going ping, ping, ping. Blood helped it. So this lady took offense. It was not Georg Thomalla's offense. He didn't make the prasadam deliberately moochy. He did, this is how you do and eat in Germany amongst friends, you know. You don't wash the hands all the time. It was not an offense on his part. It was ignorance. He didn't know the rules. It was the problem of that it was a Mataji who jumped at him. It was not his problem. Although he was in the moment very shocked, he thought, I have heard one of you. Good. Hare Krishna. Yashomati. We will deal with one question.
Yeah.
Du hast eine Frage, die du stellen kannst. Bitte stell diese Frage.
Auf der 10. Seite von Rinoma Chinkamen ist Paragraph 1, steht.
Was ist deine Frage?
Das Galoka, Vaikuntha und nachher Vraj kommt. Also was ist der Unterschied zwischen Galoka und Vraj?
Okay, the question is clear. Yashomati asks, the pastimes of the Lord take place on the waves of these transcendental qualities, and the Lord's abodes in Goloka, Vaikuntha, and Braj. She wants to know the difference between these three locations, right? It's a wonderful subject matter. There's the material world, and beyond the material world is the impersonal Brahman. Inside the Brahman are spiritual planets called the Vaikuntha planets, where the Lord is present in a four-armed form as Narayan, and is blissfully served in 2.5 rasas. What this is, you will learn later when you are... let me give you... So then we go further. Then there is a Goloka Vrindavan. It is a part of Vrindavan where Krishna is worshipped with a lot of... respect and a lot of, let me say, formality. This is Goloka Vrindavan. Krishna is worshipped, not Narayan. And this is called Goloka. Then, the inside of that of Goloka Vrindavan is Braja. Here, Krishna is acting only out of love. He does not want to be worshipped with respect and awe. He is worshipped in friendship. The friends will say, "Oh Krishna, you are not always telling the truth." Krishna goes, "Oh, he found out." It's in a very loving mood, without the formality and the respect, just out of love, the Lord is worshipped there. So these are the three differences between the material world. There is Brahman world, there's Vaikuntha, there is a part of Vrindavan called Goloka Vrindavan, where the Lord is worshipped with respect and distance, and then there is a part where the Lord is worshipped with absolutely no distance, just like a very, very close friend and relative. No? And this is Braj. Then there are other parts in the spiritual world. There is also a Navadvip where Gauranga Mahaprabhu is, just next to Vrindavan. Thank you. Dominique keeps doing this. So, who else has a question? Anna has a question. Luzi, du bist nur eine Woche da. Ich glaube, ich fixiere mich auf die 2 Monate Person. I have to focus now. I see all of you have questions. Let us first focus on the course, the 2 months course devotees, and those who are only part-time here, we will only be able to see if there are no questions left. Then we can see if you have questions. Yes. So Anna, what is your question?
I have a couple of questions.
Yeah, let us first choose one of them.
First one is the relationship in harmony from your experience. When does it develop most? During the kirtan, like actual kirtan, when we all together chant, or when we feed our kirtan by reading Srimad Bhagavatam or when chanting on our own? So when does the relationship develop most?
When does the relationship to the holy name develop most in your own case? Is the question. I will repeat it here. Is it during kirtan? Is it during japa? Is it during reading, maybe, when you understand more from the Bhagavatam about Krishna? Anna, I have often thought about this, and the answer to this question is it really develops most, the relationship to the holy name, when I consciously turn to Krishna. It could happen during japa. Like I remember, I hadn't chanted all my rounds yesterday, and I knew there was kirtan, and I wanted to actually come to the kirtan earlier, but there were so many rounds left. So I went into the rose garden, and sat there. Poof. The first thing I noticed was, my God, I found the best place. It smells so good, like roses here. And I was just happy to have a little time on my own. No one was there. I could just chant. And I must say, I chanted rose japa. I was not with the holy name. Then when I came to my second round, I said, my God, what are you doing here? You're just thinking, oh, everything is so nice, so relaxed, no one sees you, no one disturbs you, no one wants to ask you something. You know, also Swamis need their personal time for themselves. And I was so glad, I was so happy. And to be alone, but I was not chanting. Then I said, my God, you are supposed to be a teacher on the holy name and you chant rose japa. You better now turn to Krishna. Teacher, teach yourself to chant japa first. And I did this and I had wonderful japa. Or during kirtan, it happens. When I sang kirtan yesterday, I was not so sure about the melody. There was a subtle thing in the melody which I wanted to sing, but Gaurahari didn't catch it, nor was I sure how to do it properly. So I was a little bit, oh, the kirtan is not really together. I was a little bit, and then I tried to catch the subtle thing, but I just couldn't catch it. I couldn't remember it. And I became disturbed. I changed the different scales. I said, this and that, Gaurahari. Where is the sign? What? I'm trying my best. I don't know what you mean. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of time to discuss music when you're in the kirtan. And then I said, I don't care. I'd sing now for Krishna. And I turned to Krishna. It's not about melodies. And then at that moment, the holy, not exactly the same moment, but after some time, the kirtan revealed itself. It's the moment you turn to Krishna. If you do this in kirtan, or in japa, or in reading, that moment where you consciously bring your mind to Krishna, then the connection happens. Any other question is there? Vlad had a question? Yes? Yeah. I will first go to those who have the first question, then I will come around to you who have your second question. Mm-hmm.
Yesterday's topic was the main theme that we must understand that we are not this body. But is there any practical advice how to do it? Because as for me, I don't understand it. And I would like to understand this. So much, but I don't know how to realize it in my life.
The way to realize it is to take on the observer position. You must practice this observer position, and the better you become in it, you are not identified. Let me give you a few, because the moment you observe something, a split takes place. The split between the observer and that which is observed. The moment I become a conscious observer, I'm separated from what I'm observing. I want to give you an example. If there is, let us say, something happening in life, maybe you talk with someone and the person gets on your nerves and you begin to understand, you begin to see how you become irritated. And you know, if this continues, I'm really upset in a few minutes. Then what you do is you take yourself back. You, by first of all acknowledging, I have a feeling of slightly being irritated. And you observe that feeling. And you see, my God, this is just a feeling and it's not a good feeling. He is a nice person and he somehow irritates me by giving me the wrong amount of prasadam. It's too much, you know, and he will kill me if I eat this. And then you just go, I don't have to become irritated and upset with him. You just observe the feeling. It's a feeling of being irritated, and you divorce yourself from it. You become the observer of the feeling, and then that moment it is changed. As long as you don't know to take on the observer role, it's very difficult to understand that you are separate from something. Let me now go to the body. Do you sometimes are tired, it happens. So next time you are tired, you shouldn't get moody like a little boy. Have you seen children getting tired? How they, I think you have a grown-up son, Ramananda Rai.
Yes.
You have seen maybe when he was small, when he got tired, he became impossible to deal with. Because he couldn't understand, I'm just tired, I just have to wait until we go to sleep, you know. But when a grown-up person becomes tired, you just notice, I'm tired. Maybe let me try to do something against it by pressing the anti-tired point. It's a certain acupressure point in the chin. And if that doesn't work, you see no reason to become moody now. I just go through life and act responsible with the life, and then often the tiredness even goes after some time. So what you do when you do the thing with the body, I will give you a practical experience. I have at this moment, I've just cured my back pain, by Krishna's mercy, the lower back pain. But I was so happy when I saw it was going down that I was not careful enough and I caught a terrible draft. It means cold air on the shoulder. And I have such a pain in the shoulder. I could sometimes laugh about it. It's so ridiculous. So should I now identify with the body and then my whole stay and Radha Desh is miserable? No, I would just say, I observe I have a pain in the shoulder, but the moment you can observe it, you are separate from it and you have solved it. My dear devotees, emotional maturity or spiritual maturity, it starts usually with emotional maturity, means you step one step back and you watch your feeling. And you don't have to act upon it. It's separate from you. The moment the torchlight of your awareness falls into the dark parts of your subconsciousness, the different things which are there, desires and problems, are gone. But as long as you remain just so totally unconscious, and not aware of this, then you are like a little child. You're totally controlled by the mind and the body. Learn to observe your body. You can do something which we do in our Gora ashram. We live with a few devotees and often guests there, and the devotees have put a post-it on the mirrors. When they see themselves in the mirror, as they brush their teeth, they look at the post-it, I'm not the body. And they can easily realize it, because they see the body in the mirror in front of them. It's easy to understand it. That's not me. I look with a dull expression in the mirror. Just woke up. Good morning. And you understand, I'm not the body, it's just a tired body. It's my vehicle. Let me brush the teeth real good that I don't have to go to the dentist. And let me wash the body so that I can do my service nicely. But I'm not the body. And this all happens once you observe your body. Vlad, I give you an exercise. And when I come back, in 2 months, I will ask you how well went. Go before the mirror. Look into your face. Look real well, and ask yourself the question: am I the body? And you will get some feeling answer. Am I that body? After doing it for a few times, don't be scared. Just stare into your eyes. Because you will see a foreigner in the mirror. You will see, that's not me. I am inside. Oh, I'm so happy I realized today I'm not the body. Just do it. It's a lock the door that no one thinks you are a narcissist, narcissist or whatever, by looking into the mirror. It's expensive, spend some time. It's a good exercise. And ask yourself the question, am I that body? And you will feel, no, I'm separate. Davide, you had a question.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
My question comes from last night.
Yeah.
And dancing, and how dancing is perceived in the culture, but also when is it appropriate and when it's not. What happens if I'm blocking darshan from everybody, because effectively the space that I have is just in front of the altar, and that will block the view of other people. And what's the view about it? Is it something that everybody's supposed to do, but you know, it also depends on what's the mood of the people, and also maybe the shyness, or is it something that I'm supposed to just take everybody and start putting them up and on their feet? What do you think, please?
Thank you so much. The general principle of kirtan is to glorify Krishna, not yourself. So if you dance just to make an impression on others, then you would leave the kirtan and it's no longer you are out of the mood. You have to be very careful that when you dance for Krishna. Then you stay in the kirtan mood. Now, how to best dance for Krishna? To dance for Krishna should be done elegantly. Sometimes we in Germany have impossible dances. They go into real things. They jump with their chests like the Cossacks on each other and just have a good, rough German barbarian time. You know, and so on. Sorry?
In London,
it happens also. There's a strictly speaking, I mean, we should not now be. Oh, I mean, if devotees want to have just some fun, you know, why be so puritanistic also and forbid them to do this? But the idea is dancing should be done for Krishna. And I know that now if you start to block others' view from Krishna, then that is also not so nice. What happened to enlightenment? If you block others' view, that is not very good. Krishna doesn't. He wants to see not only you. He wants to see all the devotees. You know, so you have to be a little bit conscious what goes on. But I felt when you danced yesterday, it was in perfect style and belonged to the excitement of the moment. Maybe you could, I saw, you know, because I must admit I see many things, you were so exuberant that you danced right into the area where the Matajis danced, and then they felt shy, you know, or my God, maybe Davide will you know, I don't know, you know, just fall over me or whatever. But that was in 2 seconds, I thought. But then you did not fall, and then I thought, good, everything is all right. So just stay with the principle, and then you will know how to act in the situation. It's for Krishna's pleasure, and we should not block the vision of other devotees. Or versa, we should be a showman. There was one brahmachari in the old times. He was always very, very dark brown. I said, Prabhu, from where do you get this brown? It's just so brown. But the sun is not even up. Sun studio, Maharaj. Sun studio. So it was a sun studio. You know, do we say sun studio in English?
Solarium.
Solarium. And this brahmachari was always dancing very, very eccentrically. And I thought something is wrong. he's a solarium brahmachari, and he dances always like this. I've studied a little bit psychology. Let me just find that out, what is going on. And then I found out he's always dancing before the Matajis. Then I understood, he wants to marry, and he wants to find someone who's as foolish as he, who's impressed by such external things. And I said, Prabhuji, this is you. These are all saintly ladies. They are not, at least not to my knowledge, like this. Maybe you should dance in a disco and find someone there. And he said, good idea, Maharaj. For 4 long months I tried. Nothing worked. I thank you for the tip. I didn't want to say this. Please don't go to the disco. Please, please, please. I just said something to wake you up. No, it was a first class tip. We were obviously on 2 different levels of reality. So the idea is, yes, you get to know many things when you become older in this movement. That's so nice about it. Everyone is given the same chance, and most of them take it wonderfully. So that's the idea. Chant for the pleasure of Krishna. Don't dance to draw attention to your person by your dancing style, like you would do in a discotheque. I think that's what you do when you go to the discotheque. You just dance so that others take note of you. And then you become known as the Rambo of the Tiger of London Nights. joking. And I thought it was a perfect style yesterday. And we can be a little exuberant and so on. Hare Krishna. There's a ghost in the machine here. If you want, Manu, I know many styles of dancing. I have given a whole dance seminar. I like to dance like anything. I know many different styles. I could show you. Authorized styles from Chaitanya style. We can have one area for the Matajis, one for the men. I know, for instance, the art of spinning. You need to know that. Spinning, very important style. Then there's the Bengali style. Then there's the Swami step.
Maharaj, maybe when you come back, we can have one session for this.
Yeah, we need the community hall. We need a bigger space because everyone needs to have space. And we will do very Krishna conscious. No, very Krishna conscious. Dance is sacred. Remember, I think it was in Simhachalam. It was very Krishna conscious. Wonderful. It was also because, you would see, I also can dance very long and very, very energetic. There are different ways. Dancing, Davide, is one of the oldest ways of expressing. This might be interesting for Satya, who will write an essay on Kirtan, on Gaudiya Kirtan. It's one of the oldest religious ways to express one's joy for the Lord. For instance, you see in all cultures of the world, in caves, drawings of dancing people. And they danced in the glory of God. I was in the Drakensberge in South Africa, and I was, of course, very interested in everything. So I looked into a cave of cavemen, and I studied the paintings very carefully. They were showing dancing people who danced in a circle. There is a Dandan Ritya which Lord Chaitanya introduced. His first kirtan dance style was the circle dance. A lot of knowledge. Dance. So it's very profound. This Prabhupada said it's about this is about chanting and dancing. You have, I understood, Italian physical roots, genetical roots, this is a cause for you. Dancing. Dancing for the Lord's pleasure. It's very nice. But the understanding is really, it's for His pleasure. It's not for drawing attention on your person. The moment you draw attention on your person, it's there. That's why I personally don't dance any longer the way I like to dance, because the moment I start, everyone looks at me, and I'm trying to show everyone, no, just look at the deities, look somewhere else, and so on. Then they come with cameras. I only dance when I'm alone in my room nowadays.
For me, it was, I don't think I have, in a way, I don't find that I dance for attention. I actually enjoy that, and I want the Lord to enjoy it. And I think, as you said, I think it was,
I saw that. No. I saw that yesterday. You were dancing for Krishna, and you were dancing like a joyous child. I saw that.
Thank you. Yep. I think my question was more also about probably considering others and what happens when other people don't actually join, because if you are the only one in the room, then automatically you will draw attention, even though that's not
yeah.
But in a way, maybe that could facilitate some sort of, you know, wanting to join in instead. You know, it really depends.
What I would do when the others don't join, then just go to the back, then they see the deities, and you can dance freely in the back. And when others start to join, then chant in the dance in the front. That solves it very quickly and easily. You know, we usually have this one direction of vision that is to the deity, and when you're in the back, you're in the back. Yeah. But that was an excellent style yesterday. What did you think about your husband? It was good, no? You have the authorization of Abigail here, the first class. Good. Who else was Munishwara Hari? I'm looking at the martyr. You did we have you already? We only had you're concerned about the time. We can have questions and answers. We have time. There is not much more. There is only the presence at the end. So Munishwara Hari and then Gandavika. Oh, you were first, actually. Gandavika. Yes. Yeah. Let us... She was first. Yes.
Yeah, it was in regard to the 10 offenses. I just... Sometimes I tend to, like, my mind or my ego tend to love about faults or the sins we're talking about. Instead of taking it as principles, we take it as like things we have to guilt, and I feel also the ego somehow like panics because it has that attachment, and it prevents for me to go deeper, I feel. And
question is clear to you. This is very good. Now let me find it out that it becomes what to do with the ego
when it gets locked
and dwells on the faults of others
and yourself
or your own self
and the offenses thing.
And that maybe this was an offense, maybe that was an offense, like this.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's very clear to me now. Yeah, the mind gets locked. It gets into a spin. It just cannot get out.
Yeah.
Again and again you think, did I make an offense? What is about this point? Was this a mistake? Or I see a fault? And you get in an endless circle. The first thing is you have to become aware that you're in that circle. There's this roller coaster. You're again and again going through the same thoughts. And then the second is you have to break out of this. But the whole problem is one is usually not aware, one is not conscious, because one doesn't observe the mind. One thinks one is the mind, or one doesn't even think one is the mind. One doesn't think anything about it. One is just so much connected with the mind that one thinks what the mind does is what I do. You have to learn to observe your mind. Then only if you notice that something is not fine, you can do something against it. I would say this skill is necessary for you. To see what is going on in the mind, to observe it, like be a distant observer. And once you do this, half of the problem is solved already. But as long as you stay just so much connected with the mind, then you become, we say, he has a mood. You become moody, you know. You become... We once had a devotee on our team. Such wonderful devotee. Oof, best devotee. But this one thing which the devotee did not know was to understand that he was different from the mind, and that mind came into what we called in Gaura Bhavan the downward leading spiral of negative emotions. You understand this word? It started by seeing, oh, the food is that. This is just too healthy food. No, whenever do we eat pizza, please? Or something normal, but only this rice and dal sabjis. And then, this is too much service in the Gaura Bhavan. More. Oh, I don't like the people. And it was just the downward leading spiral. And the devotee was helpless. So one day I said to the devotee, my dear devotee, Mahashai, let's go on a walk. I hope you are able to digest some good spiritual knowledge. I will preach to you. Is that all right? Nowadays I ask permission before I do an operation. Okay, but don't hurt me too much, please. I will not hurt you. That's not my thing. But do you notice that you are not happy? Yes, I notice. Why do you think this is so? And at the end, we were discussing. The mind will always find faults, because that is the duty of the mind, and you have to just catch it finding faults. You have to say, you're doing it again. You're again seeing everything negative. What are you... Do you want that your life is ruled by this mind? And then you have to break it. Normally, when the way I do it, for instance, if someone complains about a devotee, that is often happening when I counsel a devotee, he gets so much on my nerves. Then I say, but can you also tell me if there's something good about this devotee? And then they see the good things, and then they start something new, a new positive thought. Usually you only see the faults which you have. But that's when someone is a little bit philosophical. You can talk about that. It's a little difficult for people to see when they are in the beginning of their personal development. But Krishna, Gandharvika, learn to observe your mind a little while you're here. You have in the kirtan course, learn when these patterns come. Oh, I'm too shy. I think I'm not good enough. Everyone came to me and said, did you hear that Gandharvika kirtan? I said, well, yeah, I heard one, but not that one when you were there. When you were not, did I hear it? I think I heard it in my room, but I don't know so much. Everyone, you know, we always think we are bad. I notice this because I'm chronically double as shy as you are. And I had to open programs with 30,000 people. And, you know, it's just that minute. You are behind the curtain and you have to now step before the curtain and address people for about 15 minutes to tell them what the program will be about and to do the framing of the program. And I always thought, oh, they will think you're foolish. Then I don't speak very good English. At that time I didn't speak very good English and so on. And I finally said, I need help in this. I'm sweating like Dominique told us. I'm so miserable. And then once you are self-conscious, you do everything wrong. Have you noticed? You can't even remember Shri Guru Charanapadma, the lines of how it goes, you know. You are happy if you can chant the Hare Krishna. Was it Hare Krishna? And then Hare Krishna? Or was it Hare Krishna, Hare Rama? And then, you know, it's when the mind goes into this block, then he's not your friend any longer. So, it became so bad, you know. Imagine you have to open an evening with the at least more than 10,000 people, and you have to address them, and you are chronically shy. What will you do? So, finally, I read a self-help book about successful orators. So I found all the tips, you know, what you do. You just mentally imagine that everyone claps, applause, and blah, blah. There are a thousand tricks, you know, you can find out. But nothing worked. For me. And then I just did it like this. I said, okay, I will do this for Krishna. I will do this in a devotional way. And that helped me to give up my shyness. I will do this for Krishna. Because then you have a reference point who is kind, who you love anyways, for whom you are ready to do everything, you know. If it's for Krishna and you are sure he wants it, yes, then I fast a day or I do, you know, you do whatever. So think like this. By the way, it's a good quality for a woman to be shy. Just when it comes to service, try to do it for Krishna and do it as good as you can. But otherwise, no problem to be a little shy. That's it. It's nice, it's sympathetic, it's more respectable, really, to be shy than to be and just be everywhere and in the mind of it, in the eyes of it, in the sit of the brain of everyone. It's better to be like this. Hare Krishna. Munishvara Hari. Thank you, by the way, for the wonderful sitar playing. Did you notice on the guitar? So tasteful, so subtle, so really such wonderful sitar. We are very impressed. Please also, if there are opportunities, please continue to play your sitar in the kirtan course. Yes, Manishwara.
Can you explain the difference between to criticize a devotee in mind or with words? What's a different reaction or reactions of this?
There are three ways of criticizing. Sorry. Sorry, what to do? That was very impolite. With the words, in the mind, with the words, and with the body. With the mind you do it when you find faults, but you don't speak about it. The reaction is not so bad. Especially in Kali Yuga. The offenses you do in the mind are not counted actually as offenses. In Kali Yuga, as a special benefit to the Kali Yuga beings who can have dark thoughts about anyone and everything.
And there's no reaction?
No reaction, it says. a little reaction is there, but I want to say this in the end. But it's not counted as you will get a karmic reaction. Not in that. For instance, in your mind, you will just, I go to the bakery in the night. I will break the lock. And I will eat the good bakery items which are left. I will finish the whole thing and then I will sneak out. There is no karmic reaction to this unless you do it. Then comes with words. Here, when we come to the level of words, it gets a little problematic because there are immediate reactions. You say to someone, "You stink," and he will say, "No, you stink." there's a reaction immediately. But even on a higher level, much more difficult level, is when you actually attack someone and hit him and show him your... That is very bad. That is very bad. The Skanda Puranas... But now it gets tricky. When you think about Vaishnava, this is about karmic reactions in a general way. Now we want to deal with Vaishnava apparat. When you think negatively about a Vaishnava, there will be a subtle reaction. It is said, Vaishnava apparat starts when you don't feel joy upon seeing a Vaishnava. You go like... The worst, there are six offenses like this. The worst is when you kill a Vaishnava, when you really take a knife or whatever. Now there are subtle reactions because Krishna doesn't like it. It hurts him. Krishna is in the heart of everyone and he sees it. But why is the devotee? I'm seeing all my devotees in a nice way. I'm wanting to help them. I want that they come to me. But why is my devotee not doing this? Why does he think bad about someone? Thank you. So, Yashomati, I will first go through all the devotees who have not asked a question. So let me see who has not yet asked a question. Your good name again? Bhumi. Yes, Bhumi.
My question is about the importance of chanting all other rounds in one city. I was having a discussion and we couldn't figure out which is better. If you cannot focus for the entire time, is it better to save some rounds for later when you can have better focus? Or is it better to sit and force yourself or focus on chanting all of your rounds even if you're not necessarily fully absorbed in Krishna's presence?
Thank you, Bhumi. The ideal about japa is to finish it in one sitting. Now, what is with the problem of little focus? Should we at that time say, well, I chanted 8 and my mind is really now going all over the place. Maybe it's better I interrupt it and chant in the afternoon. Well, it is better if you say, okay, my mind is unfocused now. Who says it's not unfocused in the afternoon? It could be more unfocused. Better is I now learn how to focus the mind, even in difficult times. I found out that you need to deal with the unfocused mind. The early, the better. The earlier you confront him and you say, now we are going to chant. I know you are not focused, but I'm going to chant. And then you learn focus. Then you learn an essential quality which you really need all the time in your life. All the time you need to all the time you deal with the unfocused mind, my dear devotees. It can happen any time. It can happen early in the morning, it can happen. But there is something that for beginners who are not yet so experienced in chanting, I would recommend when you feel a little bit drowsy or a little bit everything becomes one sound or stop for 5 minutes, walk in the nature a little bit just to relax everything and so on. But you have to conquer the restless mind. There is no way around it. You can't run away from it. What helps very much is often, Bhumi, we become unfocused when we are tired. Often. This is most of the time the problem. At that time, when you are tired, I by now believe when you're really tired, and it's not just a trick of the mind, but you're really tired, go to sleep. First try the tricks, because sometimes the mind is tricking you, so you have to trick him maybe. Go to the window, breathe some oxygen into your brain, or sprinkle some water. I saw once two devotees, they were tired devotees. And they had these water sprays before them, and they would face each other. They had them in the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And when one went like this, okay, thank you, Hare Krishna. Then he thought, okay, he sprayed me, I will catch him. And then he was more attentive. But I thought more, my God, we are spiritual people. I mean, is this a very good they just sprayed one, and then the other said, now I will get even and also spray you, and that's the reason why we stay awake. This is what children can do, but not grown-up people. Hare Krishna. They were two old men. And then he would, the water would go and he would smile. And then he would be a vague. And then the other old man was the next man. I wouldn't do like this. So try a few tricks which don't look ridiculous. But if you want to do the ridiculous one, then maybe you do it in a closed circle with a friend who resonates on that level. that you can do, but don't do it before the TV, of the national TV, and this is how the Hare Krishnas survive their boring meditation. Water guides. That would be very bad. But when you really get tired, I'm interested, there isn't a homepage, it's called Japa. How is it called, please?
Hare Krishna Japa.
Hare Krishna Japa. And Jaipataka Maharaj just posted an article, or there is an article by him, how to overcome sleep in Japa. I'm very interested in this article.
What's it called?
Hare Krishna Japa. .com. It's an interesting idea. We just discovered it. Kanchanavali will visit that homepage for sure. She's a Japa and Kirtan lover who has published very good books. One good book I know. Good. Any other questions? Second question. Anna. About Vrindavan, really? Yes, please ask.
I have heard in one of the lectures somehow that in Vrindavan, when we chant, then the potency of the holy name is 10,000 times more, especially during the month of Kartik.
So I was wondering, is it by itself? Like, where does it come from? Why?
Yeah.
And is it in fact the same if you go to Vrindavan, you know, mind?
Yeah. Wonderful. There is a statement that all devotional activities performed in Vrindavan will increase by hundreds of times, sometimes thousands of times. It's in the Padma Purana, I've seen it. And also sinful activities which are performed in Vrindavan, the reaction is aggravated, it's more. So Hare Krishna chanting is one, and you asked, can we go when we can't physically travel, can we go in our mind to Vrindavan? And the answer is, there are many devotees who do this. Srila Prabhupada was once asked, are you here? Are you with us? And Prabhupada said, no, I'm always in Vrindavan. He was sitting at that time in New York in an apartment, and maybe the person just wanted to ask, are you here with us? Are you with us? You know, but he thought, Prabhupada wanted to respond saying, no, I'm in Vrindavan. So this mentally, and in his books he writes, if one cannot physically reside in Vrindavan, one should do so mentally. This obviously applies especially during the time of devotional activities, like chanting, for instance. But make sure that you really sit at a holy place in Vrindavan, and not just when you chant, not just, you know, with monkeys and bridge passes, or even the cultural things which you like, you know, the dancing bridge passes and so on. Just go to a place where you can feel closer to Radha and Krishna, a holy place like this. But yes, that is recommended in the scriptures. My tip is, there are many recommendations, but please see if it works for you. If it is not working for you because it is too abstract for you, and you, how do I go in my mind to Vrindavan, then wait until you are able to practice this. Don't force yourself into some practices to which you are not capable of doing, because then you will not be in Vrindavan, but you will be in your mind when you do something which is you're not meant for. That you will see it will not work, and you will be, the result is not coming, and other results are coming. Good, so we will go. I think we are almost done. Yashomati, your question will be in German, and it will take a long time. We will do it another time. So I think we should just end with we should just do a few minutes kirtan, and then I want to give you your presence. Manu, would you be willing to come, and Balaram ji? Actually, I forgot one thing very important. But I put a wrong scheduling. I want to ask Banu Nandini to tell you something about learning in general, because it will help you very much during your whole kirtan retreat, or not kirtan retreat, your semester. See, I must explain something about our team. Some of you said this is systematic training, and I must say I could not have done it without the help of several people, and one of the persons is Banu Nandini, who helps in two ways: structuring the courses, also researching for the courses, but then also teaching it. It's called, there's a certain way how someone can learn. And I will ask you, Bhananandini, to please explain us this thing about the device, mm-hmm. the pyramid, the learning pyramid.
Okay, I can just quickly draw this for you. Or maybe you want to know it for yourself.
Please speak loud so that we can hear you.
It's a study about learning, and Abigail will talk a little bit about this, where scientists have found out that there is two types of learning, passive and active. So passive learning will happen when we, for instance, read something, but we don't really reflect about this. So whenever we just read things, we're going to remember only 10% of what we have read. Actually. And you know the Latin proverb, repetitio mater studiorum est. Some maybe know. Which means that repetition is the mother of education. So we have to repeat things in order to remember. So the scientists have shown if we only give students things to read, 10% will stay with them. So we need to engage students more. So we are moving more towards the active learning. And then the scientists have found out that they will remember 20% of what they hear, because when they're hearing, they're processing much quicker and reflecting more. And then 30% they remember of what they see. So this is why many times in universities and so on, you will see also they show different graphs and visual things and so on, so that we also memorize things by seeing, right? But like we saw the sketch the other day, I will tell you that was on the part of the devotees who performed the sketch, 90% of learning. It was very active because they had to engage with the subject, they had to think about how do we present this to others, they had to be very creative. So this type of processing of information goes very deep and it stays very deep, it moves them. And for us who watched it, it was also much more than if you just heard them presenting it, right? And telling us the information like we usually hear. So that's why also it's good to engage in such ways, the students. So 50% we will remember of what we see and hear together. So when we see things and hear some explanation, it's 50% will stick with our memory. And now this is all called passive learning. So when we are only reading, when we are only hearing, when we are only seeing, or when we combine seeing and hearing.
That's still passive, not active.
No, because the students are not engaging. Mm-hmm. They're just receiving the knowledge. They're passive about this. But the active learning starts once you start engaging yourself in really processing the knowledge. Like if you are presenting the knowledge, or if you are like the students did, they even made a little sketch. And also if you write essays, and if you like speak about what you have learned. So this was just, we promised you yesterday, we will give you this, so that you maybe see during this course how you can be more active. You can think yourself. What we usually suggest is to have learning partners. Some of you, like the two sisters, I'm sure they will reflect a lot. Or the couple, you know, for sure you reflect at the end of the day. But also the others who are maybe partners already staying together in the same room during the course or just by some other
liking. Dominique and Rishabdev, they don't sleep even, they talk about it.
You talk up to 2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
That's very nice. But also try to talk about some subjects. Like, what did you hear today?
No, they do this.
And what moved you? What struck you? That's very important to recall and to discuss. And maybe you want to see how you want to present even what you're learning here, you know, to others. Maybe, like we have had one service which we requested Abigail to do. She will be writing regular reports about the course each week and posting them on Facebook, so you can also look it up.
And so this is also one very active way, because she will have to be very conscious of what is being taught, what's going on, and then she will have to write something about this. So maybe some of you also come or have some ideas how you want to apply more of this active learning, where you engage yourself. This is really just an advice so that you take most out of it, that it doesn't just all come inside and then go outside, you know. So that's about
it. Thank you. Thank you.
And also, I would like to use the opportunity to tell you that Maharaj has a webpage. And if you would like, you can stay in contact. It's very simple. It's www.sachinandanswami.com. And there we post regular short articles about various spiritual subject matters which Maharaj is reflecting upon, or you will find, of course, tour schedules and pictures and like this. So it's sachinandanswami.com, and maybe some of you would like to try out one of the retreats in Govardhan or Vashana in India, in the sacred land of Vrindavan. So there are two retreats. One is Japa and Kirtan retreat, and this one is facilitated by Maharaj and Gurujan Prabhu together.
And many times Giriraj Maharaj joins us. According to his health, he is also part of the trio now.
Yes. So Maharaj, Giriraj Maharaj, and Gurujan Prabhu. And it's very, you know, it's really for serious students, because it's only, you know, about the holy name and many hours of chanting in the different holy places. And we have the most amazing 12-hour kirtan, which happens in the forest of Vashti.
Wow!
And it's in a hall which is to 80% in glass. So you're sitting on a kund in the forest of Varshana, and you're sitting and singing inside, so the acoustics is very nice, and we feel we are in the heart of Varshana. And then there is the second retreat, it's the Govardhan retreat.
And when?
It's always after Kartik, November this year it will be. So you can look the exact dates at Maharaj's webpage.
You could... You,
I mean, I could tell you just
on
now.
On the webpage, or they have...
Yeah, it's on your webpage. But
it's somewhere mid-November, I think.
Yeah, it's like 17th to 22nd, and then something like that. So well,
that would be nice to see each other in the garden again.
Ooh. I could tell you. And then also in the Govardhan retreat, it's really only Krishna Katha from morning till evening. Mm-hmm. And there are four teachers, or five. Sometimes it's Sachinanda Maharaj, Purujan Prabhu again, then Jagatarini Mataji, it's Purujan Prabhu's wife, Madhavananda Prabhu, he's a great scholar and researcher of Vaishnava, very detailed, you know, which we don't hear usually in regular classes, it's very interesting. And sometimes Giriraj Maharaj also comes, and some Vyasis sing sometime and perform, and we have Krishna Leelas, and it's very, very absorbing, spiritually absorbing. Yes. And I also want to personally thank you for being here. Thank you for allowing me to come and give a little service to all of you. And I hope to see you again in 2 months. And that we can sing kirtan together. Last night, I'm sorry, because I just arrived from India and I didn't sleep for almost... No, not almost, but I didn't sleep for 8 days. So when we came, I had even diarrhea and some fever, and it was so exhausting. And then the night before and last night, I thought I'd just take a little nap, and then, vroom, I was gone until 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. So I'm sorry I couldn't attend, but in 2 months it will be better.
Thank you for your service. We are happy when the Vaishnavas can rest a little. Fine, so let us just have a small kirtan. Manu, could I request you to sing the kirtan, please?
Thank you.
Ended the first week of your Kirtan course. I'm very happy that we were on this journey together. And just before I left Germany, I thought that this is really something so close to the heart of Srila Prabhupada. We learn how to become Krishna conscious and then share it with others. And I really think that the best way to learn to become Krishna conscious and the best way to share Krishna consciousness with others is doing kirtan. In kirtan you become conscious of Krishna, and when you do kirtan you share it with others. And I really would love to help you or inspire you to set your goal a little. You have now still a little bit less than 2 months of kirtan course. Please learn the kirtan in this way, that you can learn it for your own development of Krishna consciousness, and then that you can do something to spread kirtan. Either sing kirtan at home. It's very simple. You can make an altar at home. You can the harmonium is very cheap, or cartels is even cheaper. You can just, or if you're poor, you can use your hands, and then sing in the evening, and you will see after some time you might invite people. Something will happen in your environment. Friends will show up who are interested in this, and they will come and join you for kirtan, and in this way Krishna consciousness will spread. I'm very fortunate that I have been able to spend time with you, and really it was a wonderful time with all of you. And when I left Germany, I also thought I have these books, but I would love to present the books to you as you know, we were there together for 1 week. So my little presence or expression of gratitude is to show you some books. I will see two books basically here with me from all the books. And Krishna, please do come, then I will see how to, for whom this is best. I have to just see.
Maybe you would like to just briefly say
what it is? Yeah, this is, so let's start with this. This is called spiritual tonic. In Ayurveda, there are tonics, that means they rejuvenate your system when you take them. You get strength by this. And one of these spiritual tonics, or rasayanas they are called, is given in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. They are a list of verses you go through, and these verses describe Krishna. So it's like a Vrindavan meditation. This is the spiritual tonic. It has a CD with the verses in Sanskrit in it, and so on. That's the spiritual tonic. And the other is Broken Names. It's a novel. It's a small work, but it writes about a person who has doubts really in himself and in the process of, as it is revealed to him by his spiritual master, chanting. And he goes to Vrindavan to make one last attempt to save his broken faith. And as he goes to Vrindavan, Vrindavan begins to interact with him, and many things happen to him. Like he's attacked by a dangerous cobra who wants to kill him. But the most important thing of all the things he happens is he meets Sanatan Baba. Sanatan Baba is known in the world as Rajan Singh, or in short, the super cop. He was able to solve two very important attacks of terrorists. And many say that he has shot many people. He's a super policeman. But he thought this is not the way to change the world, and he then went to Vrindavan and became a Babaji and disappeared. But now there's a threat, a bomb attack threat on the Indian parliament. Everyone in India looks for this Rajan Singh, and finally they find out that a hot trace leads to Vrindavan, and they find out that he is a Baba there. They want to catch him and bring him back to his old life. Sanatan Baba will say things like, I have left the world, but the world has not left me. And there are many things which happen as he goes through, as Vishvambar interacts with Sanatan Baba, which are very dramatic. It's a novel, as I said, but it's all about the holy name. At the end, the broken faith of Vishvambar becomes mended. He is broken from the cover, and he finds out that my faith was broken because my chanting of the holy names was broken. I chanted empty or broken names, and by the instructions of Sanatan Baba, he learns how to chant properly. It's a very spiritual book, but it's just made in a way that it's, that I wanted to try to make a page turner. For some it is like this, but of course not for everyone, because I'm just starting. These are the two books, and I have one Naam Rahasya with me. So please come and receive your gifts. It's a great honor. Munishvara Hari, you will get a broken name.
That's
or then the spiritual tonic.
Dankeschön.
Bitte.
Thank
you. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Davide Day and Abigail, it's easy for me to give you two presents because I will give you the both. You know, I don't have to choose, and if you like, you can. So, this is for you.
Thank you.
This
thank
is
you
for
so
you.
Much.
Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. And the sisters, please come, because it's also easy for me to give you presents. You will get this, and you will... Do you have it already? Or?
I have this one.
This you have. Yeah. Then I have this, and then I have this. This you don't have.
We actually have them all.
You have them all.
But my mom, she always takes that from me. So maybe
this
the
one?
Broken name.
The broken name. So yeah, the
I'll
mom,
give it.
The mom takes it. Okay, okay. Good. Good. Hare Krishna. So please come. Dominik, was ist für dich? Du kriegst die Novelle. Den Krimi. Hare Krishna. Vlad, for you. Yeah.
It's possible to ask a signature.
It's already inside. Okay. You have this already, Anna? What do you don't have? There are only two left.
This two I don't have.
What?
Neither of this.
Neither of this. This for you.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Bhumi.
Also the spiritual tonic, it's very nice meditation.
Yeah, it's meditation for chanting. I wouldn't. It's about japa. Don't worry.
Nice. Should I bring the two last ones to the students who are not here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good. So, it's time to say see you very soon. Hare Krishna. I wish you all the best, and please try to keep this in mind, what we said about habits. Two things, what we said about habits. If there was something which struck you, do it consistently and practice it, and you will see it will become a spiritual habit. For the rest of the course, please remember Banu Nandini's learning pyramid, where she told you that the more you engage with the subject, the more you become active in your learning by discussing what you learned with others, by applying what you learned, and so on. The more the knowledge will stay with you, it will become something which will shape your future life. Yes? This is what you should remember. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.